KVMR FM 89.5 in Nevada City. KVMR FM, Nevada City. PM in the afternoon here in KVMR FM Nevada City, transmitting on 89.5 in the Sierra foothills. This is the Zentech radio show. We're also blasting out from high atop the Sierras on translator K286 AN in Truckee, 105.1 in the Truckee Tahoe Basin. Callers from up there, welcome as always after the community calendar to our technical call-in show at 265-9555, 1-800-355-KVMR. In the background, instead of the usual Brian Eno, we've got Alan Parsons. This is Alan's venture into electronica after 20 or 25 years of music producing the likes of Pink Floyd and the Beatles at Abbey Road Studios. Hi, Glenn. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Paul. How about you?
Excellent. Listen to this bit. You're going to love it. Ready? Here we go. Crank it up again. I guess I'm a sucker for anything that involves electronica and the ambient sounds of storms and rain and so on. As far as I can tell, Alan was doing this 100% synthetic. The rain's enhanced rain, like they use in movies, because real rain's kind of difficult to record.
Yeah, get the equipment a little bit wet or damp, doesn't it?
We sure do. And we're here every other week. If you're expecting to hear Eric Toman Booktown, that will be next week. We alternate with them. This is the Zentech Radio Show. Your hosts, Glenn Farr and Paul Castro, are here every couple of weeks. This is our week from 1 till 2. To be followed by Jimmy Carter's Rock and Roll Party at 2 o'clock. And you can call us in, as we said, after the community calendar, which is underwritten in part by the Wooden Spoon Kitchenware Store, which is a toy store for cooks. The Wooden Spoon has served Nevada County for over 20 years. Their newly expanded store is in the Fowler Center at 12066 Nevada City Highway in Grass Valley at 530-272-8980.
The first item on the calendar this afternoon, here's your chance to help community radio and become a fun part of KVMR. We're looking for volunteers to answer phones and talk to listeners during KVMR's upcoming membership drive beginning Monday, May 15th. That's next Monday. If you can volunteer for a three-hour shift, email volunteer@kvmr.org or leave a voicemail at 265-9073, extension 213.
The next film in the Social Forum film series, Watermarks, shows this Tuesday evening at the Magic Theater in Nevada City at 7:35.
Dave Manning, Alaska's Piano Man, will be performing at the Bar of America in Truckee this Thursday at 8 p.m. For information, it's 775-530-8722.
KVMR's next membership drive starts Monday, May 15th. That's a week away. But you can be a KVMR early bird and receive a limited edition KVMR people-powered radio tote bag when you make a financial contribution and pick from any of our pre-drive thank you gifts. Go directly to our website, kvmr.org, for all the details and options for this bonus tote bag goodie.
The Inkwell presents a spoken word event by Nevada Union students in the high school's Black Box Theater on Wednesday at 7 p.m. For more information, 292-3750.
This weekend at the Center for the Arts, on Thursday at 8 p.m., all-star string band The Way Backs, and on Friday at 8 p.m., Hawaiian slack key guitarist Patrick Lendeza and friends. On Saturday at 8 p.m., Objects in the Mirror and solo bassist Michael Manring. For more information, call 274-8384.
This week at the Beat in Grass Valley, Monday, Poetry Night featuring Grace T, 8 p.m. Tuesday, Salsa Night, 7:30 p.m. Dance Lessons at 8 p.m. Wednesday, Songwriter Showcase featuring John Stadler. Thursday, Open Mic hosted by Ray of Light. Friday, Ray of Light and Friends. For more information, 274-2411.
KVMR's Community Counter airs weekdays at 6:30 a.m., weekends at 7:30 a.m., and at 1 and 5:30 p.m. daily. To list your entertainment event or fundraiser on the community calendar, send details at least 2 weeks in advance to psa@kvmr.org. The calendar is a public service of KVMR-FM. Hey, this is a talk show. It's not a music show. I'm just having such a good time with Alan Parsons. And the album is called A Valid Path.
A Valid Path.
Yeah, produced in 2004. I just got wind of it. I used to love Alan Parsons years ago. He's out there.
Now, did there used to be like the Alan Parsons Trio, or am I...
Project.
Project, there we go. I knew there was something.
Yeah, as far
that.
As I know, he would hire session musicians. This appears to be just by Mr. Alan Parsons and his previous album in 1999. What the heck was it called? Time Machine? Oh, we've got a piece from that to celebrate Alan Stoller.
Oh, okay.
And his talk about time and stars. We'll just pop that in a moment.
Sounds good. We do want to take a moment, though, and thank all of you for helping to support programming here at KVMR, and for their support in helping to underwrite programming at KVMR. We offer thanks out to OmSoft Technologies, providing Sacramento and the foothills with local internet solutions for home and office, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. Their phone number is 530-758-0119. Or omsoft.com. That's omsoft.com. OmSoft, the enlightened internet solution.
Great. I found in my research and homework that Mr. Alan Stoller, which is KVMR's science and ecology correspondent at the station, Alan, you've got a relative, a cousin, I believe, in England, and he sounds like this.
When you look out into the night sky and you see the stars far away, you're seeing them because of the light that has travelled from them to you. Now, it takes time for light to travel here. So what you're doing is seeing the stars as they were in the past, the amount of time it's taken for light to reach us. And the further and further away those stars are, the further back in time you're looking. Now, we're seeing a star, let's say, 6,000 years ago. Imagine somebody on that star looking at us. They would be seeing us as we were 6,000 years ago. Which of those two is now? So space and time are linked together. As we are looking across space, we are looking back in time.
How about that? It's kind of hard to make a segue from the previous show, the Earth Mystery Show, and we call ourselves the Celestial Clarity Show, but I think we did it this time with that one-minute piece there. I'm not actually sure whose voice that is, but whoever it is, I believe it's a cousin of Alan Stoller from my good country.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, here we are, and we've done our duties with the community calendar and our thanks to our underwriters, and we are at 265-9555, 1-800-355-KVMR.
And we do want to welcome our Truckee Tahoe listeners on translator K286AN, Truckee 105.1 FM.
Sure, if you're listening on 105.1, we'd sure like you to mention that when you call in. We'll
yes.
talk to anybody, as you know, but if you can hear us on 105.1, we're always interested in who over the hill is doing that. I've got about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes of homework and news, and I call it homework because I used to hate that. Have you got bits of homework, Ben?
You know, we talked about a lot of things before the show, and as usual, I don't write them down. So you go ahead, and as the show progresses, I'm sure I will come up with some things that we can add to my list.
Sure, and I've decided that maybe the format of the show it would be nice to put a bit more variety. I used to try and have a theme for the show, and that never worked. But I get approached by people that go, "Oh, you're the British guy that does the Zentech radio show. love the show, no idea what you're talking about. That's always the theme. So I decided to follow it up with a couple of people, and I said, well, why do you listen if you don't know what it's about? And they go, because eventually it gets round to something that we deal with. So if we change direction every few minutes, forgive us if the attention span is that of a canary, but well, it seems to serve people.
And in regards to that, my philosophy has always been the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. So if you have a question and the show's not going in the direction you want it to go in, give us a call. Somebody last time after our show 2 weeks ago called up and said, gee, do you talk about cell phones ever? And we do.
If you like.
There's lots of new technologies and cars coming out. Gosh, mm-hmm. All kinds of neat stuff there. We've talked about that. Your computers, of course, that's probably our main focus.
Right.
Which, you know, everybody is you know, people are using them, but they don't understand them a whole lot. So, and that includes me. I mean, I'm thankful for Paul because you've got the brain that just absorbs all this stuff. You manage to see it, hear it, listen to it, and then remember it. My brain is just like a sieve. You know, if I hear about it once, it takes me like five times before I can remember it.
Well, I tend to live and breathe it, and then I go elsewhere and get a life. There was a time perhaps I didn't have a life. Maybe to some people I still don't have a life. But no, it's not all I do, luckily. Well, here's the pieces of homework. The first one is an announced service that has not arrived yet. Glenn, as you're on the internet, see if you can find something from America Online. All these companies are vying with each other now to get your voice over IP business. The report is that America Online, love them or hate them, are now giving away phone numbers for voice over IP. So you can acquire a number in one of 50 major metropolitan areas, which in our case would presumably mean San Francisco phone number, Sacramento phone number. They will give you this number, and you can use it for free, and people can call you on that number. But you will have to buy units if you want to call out, which is how they mean to make business. The other companies like Skype and so forth will charge you to have a local phone number on which people can reach you. The story is that when AOL has rolled this thing out, as they say, the phone number will be free. I don't have a site to go to. I don't know if it even mentions it now, AOL.com, and you don't need to be an AOL member to get this thing.
I thought you had to be a member of their...
You have to have their instant. Yes, you do, but you don't have
messaging.
To sign up to their service. It says here AIM, AOL instant messenger use declined 13%. So they lost, you know, 1 in 10 of their customers from 50 million to, you know, you figure it out. They lost 10% of their users in the last year, so they're struggling to get that in order, their house in order by adding value added services there. Second piece of news. RIP Pentium, after 13 years, the Pentium name is going to go away. So no more products out of Intel with the Pentium moniker stuck on them. The original Pentium name came out of the fact that you couldn't register as original art names like 186, 286, 386, 486. So the natural successor to the 486 was not a 586 per se, but a Pentium.
However, somebody did come out with a 586, I believe.
Right.
AMD did.
Correct, but they couldn't use the name Pentium, so it now became quite distinct, because AMD would grab the market by calling their chips a 486 something or other,
mm-hmm.
To be replaced with these names that the marketing guys banged their heads against the table for in some period of time. One's called a Conroe dual mode chip, and the other one's called a dual core chip, excuse me, the other one's called a Merom. one for mobile use, I guess the one with the letter M in it.
Okay.
And the other one not.
Back to the AOL, the article that you referenced for me was at cron.com. AOL mm-hmm. to offer AIM users free phone numbers, so our listeners can check that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we had a fascinating bit of work here. There's been inquiries in the past, people saying, how can we record streams off the internet? In other words, if you listen to us on Live365, for example, or if you listen to us with Winamp and you're out of the region, or even if you're in the region, or you listen to many of those other internet-based streaming radio stations, how can you capture that stream and record it? And there's tricks we can perform, and we thank one caller for reminding me that you can configure Winamp with the disc recorder.
Oh, okay.
So you tweak around with the plugins that go into this Windows program called Winamp, and you can make it write directly to disk. Or better still, this is commercial software, and thanks to Terry Wallace for finding this, radiotracker.com. And by the way, we do mean to put this out on a mailing list, so there's more links than usual, and rather than struggle with figuring out what I just said, the mailing list I hope will go up on zen.kvmr.org shortly, and you can join it. That site again, radiotracker.com. It's commercial software, and it comes pre-primed with several thousand existing radio stations.
Now, when you say commercial software, is the software free or you have to purchase it?
I think there's a trial version, but we usually spit out freebies here. This one ain't a freebie, and it's not because I don't like paying for stuff. There's no free equivalent of this, and it looks like very good software.
Okay.
So if you want to listen to the radio shows on KVMR when you're not around, you set your software and it will capture the stream. Those radio stations that actually put captions on the stream when they tell you what piece of music's playing, this software will split it into tracks. And interestingly, according to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, it's legal to do this mm-hmm. because you're not acquiring individual songs. You're acquiring a genre or a station. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm told. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but that's what it will do. What else do we have? Oh, we've got a project going on here at the station, which is to put a, what amounts to being an iTunes streaming server on our Linux server. Now, this is going off the deep end where people's eyes will glaze over and they'll go, no idea what you're talking about. It's fascinating, though. If you're running iTunes and you're playing your songs, you can actually share your network connection with iTunes songs with other people on your network. Now, in this radio station here, we've got a Linux server that's been running more or less non-stop for 5 or 6 years, doing file serving for the staff and volunteers around the office. It's now had a Linux version of the iTunes streaming server on it. I forget the exact name for the protocol. I think it's MARRP or something interesting like that. And so we're starting to organize our albums and music onto this server, which now contains about 500 songs. And I've experimented with it, and it works great. We're hoping to get it today for the show to demonstrate, but with the Spaghetti Factory, that's not going to be possible probably till next time. So the issue then became, well, we've got all these tracks that were stripped from albums at the station so that they could be put on the server and played from an on-the-air digital machine, but a number of them were misidentified, or a number of the MP3 songs hadn't been properly identified from the CD before they were ripped. As many of you know, if you put a CD into a PC or a Mac and it's connected to the internet, it will be able to link up to an online database known as CDDB, which means a compact disc database, and pull down the track names of the album artist and individual tracks involved. Well, lo and behold, out of Germany comes a very nice piece of software, which we shall try on the PC. I will stop doing that accent now. Do visit mp3tag.de. Once again, that's mp3tag.de. Let's suppose you've ripped 10 tracks from a CD, and they came over as track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and no further identification. You highlight the whole lot, you click on the CDDB menu, make sure you're on the internet, and that unique table of contents for those series of tracks will be pulled down from the internet, whether or not it's on a CD.
Ah.
So a lot of the stuff that got onto our server in the first 10 days or 2 weeks of operation wasn't clearly identified, and I was able to recover it using that mechanism. One more time, that's mp3tag.de. Folks, it's a PC program. So sorry. There's bound to be an equivalent for the Apple. Don't know what it is, and it may even be possible in iTunes directly.
Well, now, aren't there, like, if you have Windows Media running, or Windows Media Player running, mm-hmm. won't it go out and try to find titles?
I've seen it
you?
Do it with well, the catch about this one is, if you've got it on a CD, you've got a collection of tracks and a table of contents, just like the contents of a book. So you've got 10 or 12 or whatever it is, 15 tracks, each with a unique length. More or less, excuse me, the compilation has got unique lengths to each track, which makes a unique table of contents. So what other album happens to have a 55-second track 1 and a 1-minute and 19-second track 2? So that's what gets looked up.
Ah.
So when you pull down the when you collect the MP3 data together and you try to identify it, you have to highlight the group of tracks that came from the original CD, which may not always be so easy. I don't know if Windows Media Player does that.
Okay.
Anyone with any enlightenment on this matter, do let us know. The my battery's extremely low on my homework device here. I'm sorry, I've lost...
Let's do this.
mp3tag.de, that's what I was...
Did you plug your laptop in?
You know, it doesn't matter, I'm near the end of it anyway. I'm nearly done.
Oh, I was going to let you... Oh, okay. I was going to let you plug into mine.
Look, I've got a photographic memory. My battery's running out, folks. Actually, whether or not these other programs do it, I just love mp3tag.de, and it is free, and it allows you to straighten out the tagging of all your MP3s, where some of them are called classic rock, and some of them are called rock, and the years got wrong, or, God forbid, the tags have come over in Serbo-Croatian or something like this. You can actually straighten all this stuff out with mp3tag.de.
Wonderful.
Free. Homework? What have you got, Glenn?
At the moment, I'm going to have to pass.
The Titanic lady...
Oh, yes.
Isn't that a shame?
Yes, the last surviving U.S. survivor and the last survivor to remember the Titanic. She was 5 years old and was on a lifeboat with her mother and, I believe, a brother and another sister. She died over the weekend. Mm. There were two other survivors, I believe, from Britain who were infants,
little babies
so
at the
they
time,
have no
yeah.
memory of the Titanic itself.
So, R.I.P. and a little piece of history. Oh, my battery's completely gone. Her name was Lillian Asplund, and she was 99 years old. She never gave an interview and never talked to anyone about it.
Wow.
Because she lost her fraternal twin brother and several other members of her family, so she could never be brought to talk about it. And apparently a lot of residents in the town in which she lived had no idea this is who she was.
Ah.
A little sad note there.
Yeah.
Yes. Somebody's trying to call. Should we play?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Let's try. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on Zentech. Please turn your radio down.
Well, it's off. Will that do?
Okay, yeah.
Hi, Glenn. It's Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
We knew that, Lorraine. Totally distinctive voice.
Well, you know, I've got a really embarrassing problem, so I'm kind of ashamed that you'll recognize my voice.
It's all right. Bad breath does not come over the air.
What have you heard?
Only what I smelled. Go right ahead, Lorraine.
Well, it's really a picayune thing that's driving me crazy. Is this the place to talk about it?
It is.
Well, you know, I've got this antiquated iMac, and I spent 2 hours last night getting a copy of every image everyone's ever sent to my email off of my desktop. And
hopefully onto external media?
No, I trashed them.
Oh,
I just had to get rid of them.
Okay.
And
so
I want to keep them from coming onto my desktop. Why do they just pop up on my desktop when they're sent to my email?
What is it that appears in your desktop?
What?
What is it that appears on your desktop?
Icons.
What do they say?
Various things. JPEGs and
oh.
and any kind of attachment.
They say Paul's silly 50th birthday picture
right.
in the English channel. Or
I wasn't asked. I missed that one?
That's what really upsets you, the fact that you didn't ask. Sounds to me, Lorraine, now, if I remember rightly, you're using Netscape email or something? Or I don't remember
Eudora.
What you... Eudora. Sounds to me like the... I seem to remember the default attachment folder for Eudora on OS 9 is the desktop.
Ah. So if you go into Eudora and
yeah.
go into Tools, you'll get... I assume it looks like when you do it on the PC.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at the bar for Eudora, and I don't see Tools.
If this is OS 9, Eudora might be older than I remember. Lorraine, under one of the settings, it says where to save attachments.
She can't find Tools. So
Setup?
So across the top you have File,
Edit, Mailbox, Message, Transfer, Special.
Special.
Window, Special.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Filter Messages.
Nope.
Make Address Book Entry, Make
nope.
Filter, Find.
Nope.
Oh, settings.
Yeah, there you go.
Would that be it?
Yes.
Could be.
Auto configure.
Nope.
Kerberos.
Nope.
Color tuning.
Nope.
Synchronicity.
Nope. Nope.
Somewhere down in that list, you should find attachments.
Attachments.
And it will show you a button to push, which, if it's blank, means the desktop. You push the button, and it says where to save the attachments.
Okay, attachments.
Did you see it?
I clicked it open, and it says attachment folder.
Yes. And
desktop folders.
Oh. Do you know that we set up Lorraine beforehand so we'd sound good right at the beginning of the show?
But where can I tell him to send it instead?
Anywhere except there.
Ideally, you'd want to put it in a folder that says Eudora attachments. I recommend for everyone who has a PC, which I know about because I don't know the hierarchy there of the Apple, is that you store them somewhere under my documents so that in the future when you want to back up stuff, you just back up my documents and it gets everything.
Lorraine, there is a folder on Mac OS 9 that's just simply called Documents. I think it's
there
straight
it
under
is.
Mac hard drive. I would not put it directly in Documents. I'd create another folder underneath that one called Attachments so that you'll know how they got there.
Or Eudora Attachments.
Yeah, something with a sensible specific. Name on it, yeah.
All right, now, so I'll click New
yes.
under Documents.
Yeah.
Title folder, I'll say.
This is all done without actually. You know, this is amazing. Without even seeing it and going back in my tiny, tiny brain, which is smaller than a newt, this goes back about 5 years or something like that, Lorraine.
It is done. It is accomplished.
Whoa. Dan.
I think we owe somebody a royalty for that one.
We do. You know, actually, that got very bad reviews, possibly because... Oh, did you know, Lorraine, while you're still there, well, you heard it first on Zentech. A remarkable scientific discovery was made that a British woman, Katie Holmes, was the first woman in the world ever to give birth to a child. Did you know that?
Well, let's stand on a couch and crow about it.
Woohoo! Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was from Britain.
I'm afraid so, yes.
Okay.
Katie Holmes is British?
Yes.
But she's so quintessentially like American, but then I guess...
That's why she's here.
Okay, then.
All right, have lots of fun.
Thanks Lorraine.
Ever so.
Take care, Lorraine.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yep, I think line 2 is still not lit up. It's kind of quiet here. It's 124 minutes and 15 seconds, 16 seconds, 17 seconds on our atomic clock in the studio. 72 degrees outside, and you can call us at 265-9555-1800-355-KVMR. This is the Zentech radio show, whose moniker is "There ain't no dim questions, there's just interesting ones."
Right. Now, can we give people the email address to, or the web address to go sign up for our mailing list, or is it not appropriate for them to start that yet?
It's not up yet.
Okay.
I struggled with it over the weekend. We gave up on the idea of running a website because neither of us have. I haven't got the time. I just haven't got the brains for it. I've set up a nice content management system, and a number of people who took it up briefly found themselves, like ourselves, too busy to manage the content on the website. So it's out of date. But when the mailing list is up, zen.kvmr.org will contain a link to allow you to subscribe, meaning you put your email address down there. When we've got things of interest from the show, including these links to different sites, they will be sent to you as an email. And they're sent to you securely. They're not given to anyone else.
You won't see everyone else's name on the list. Now, you can actually make comments to us. You can write to us via the list.
Right.
And we can choose whether or not we want to publish that out to other folks. We may have a box there that says, you know, it's okay to share this with other folks if it's something of interest to everyone.
So what we'll do is the list, we hope, this is what was causing the trickery at the weekend, that members of the list don't get to write to each other because that opens it to abuse, I hate to say. So you may have 1,000 law-abiding, conforming, nerd-type citizens, and one loony gets in there. So the members of the list won't communicate with each other. However, if you reply to a message that came from us, we'll get to see it. So when it is set up, if you can say it's okay to publish it, we'll forward it to the rest of the list without your email address, just your name, like Joe or whatever.
Okay.
So we take the forwarding of emails seriously so that it doesn't propagate your name around, your email address around the place. So
yes.
Just use your first name. That's it.
Yeah. One of the things on an email that you sent me about homework, BitTorrent.
Oh, yeah. And you tried it, right?
Yes. I'm downloading something right now. I downloaded one item, and unfortunately it came in a format that, for it to play, required that it go back to the original website that it came from.
Yes.
And I wasn't comfortable with that. I didn't want to go to that website and get
whatever they wanted
in order for me to be able to play that, whether it was they wanted a fee or they wanted to put software on my computer or something. So that one I erased. I'm actually downloading something else right now. It when I left Chester, was at 90%, and right now it's at like 93%.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, from the time that I left Chester on Saturday, turn this off, come back, plug the computer in here today, and it's continuing to download. So if you don't get something all at once... right away, you know, it can happen. And what is the reason for BitTorrent? You can better explain why it's out there and what it does.
Well, Glenn, it's actually magic.
Okay.
So we try to explain things on this show, and I gave up a long time ago maintaining the clarity that Alan Stoller does as our science correspondent. I thought, you know, instead we'll just put down to magic those things we can't clearly explain. It's pretty close to magic. You can learn a little bit more about it if you go to bittorrent.com. But you do have to spell it correctly, and that's 2 T's and 2 R's. If you spell it any other way, you'll end up with a site that will try to sell you the darn thing. So it's bittorrent.com. We'll send it out an email list. It's actually bittorrent.com. It's a download of not really big, 4 or 5 megabytes. And I hear you ask, well, what is BitTorrent and what does it do? Well, what BitTorrent is that each person that is using BitTorrent becomes a node on a web of machines on a network, if you like. And it's not your entire machine that's shared in that way. It's only that you become an uploader of whatever it is that you're downloading. Now, a good example of that was anyone watching TV the weekend before, would have seen the political comedian Stephen Colbert, and his Washington Press Club address, comedy routine / poignant memories of a freer time. I don't know what you'd call it exactly. So there was a video out there floating around on the internet, which was transcribed from the video made of this activity going on two Saturdays ago, which is Stephen Colbert making political commentary or jokes, depending on how you look at it. So, of course, anyone that hosted this on their site said this would be really neat for people to download it, would immediately get bombarded by thousands of requests for downloads, which would result in nobody getting anything useful as the poor server caved in and died. So if you think about it, let's suppose 100 people wanted to download this video from the website that was hosting it. The bandwidth of that website would have to be divided up amongst the 100 requests that were going for that file. How much cleverer would it be that each person that was downloading that self-same single video, which is 300 or 400 megabytes inside, became a potential uploader as well? And that's exactly what BitTorrent does. So there's what they call a seed node, which is the one that contains the data about all the other nodes, but doesn't contain the file itself. There's your BitTorrent client that connects to the seed node, where you download a file called .torrent. And that in turn then connects with everyone else downloading. The upshot of all this, and then people out there glazing their eyes over going, oh, this is where Paul's being really interesting, but I've got no idea what he's talking about. The upshot of this is the more people that are downloading it, the faster it goes.
Mm-hmm.
The more people that want what you're after, the easier it is to get, because everybody contains a piece of the file. A twist to this is the fact that the file is not downloaded linearly. It's not downloaded from the beginning through the middle to the end. It's downloaded in, I think, 2 kilobyte chunks, 2014 byte pieces, randomly through the whole file. So therefore, you can't watch the thing until you've got 100% of the thing. So if you're feeling selfish, it's no good as soon as you've got it disconnecting. So everybody gets the first few bits, but nobody gets the later bits. The file is broken and split up into chunks and distributed randomly by piece. So that nobody, as the guy that wrote the program, Bram Cohen, as he says, as you receive, so shall you give.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. It's .communism on the web, and, you know, may I be thrown out of the country for saying it, but it's .communism at its best. BitTorrent.com.
BitTorrent.com.
Yeah. Open source project led by Bram Cohen. And if you're a developer or somebody that wants to know the internal guts of it, there's a very, very good explanation. If you go to bittorrent.org, that's not where you get the software. That's where you get the explanation. It's where the developers meet. And the link on the left of that page shows you a wonderful little map of everybody connecting to everybody else and everybody being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like a photocopier, you can do bad things with this, you can do good things with this. It doesn't care what it's doing. It's just the technology for sharing and distributing files. So nothing I've said on this show endorses the getting of the things that you shouldn't get.
All right. Maybe it's time for our disclaimer now, too.
We do it. I can never remember it.
You've got it in front of you, but that's okay.
Where?
Isn't it just, like, written right there?
Oh! Down goes the microphone. Here we go. When offering opinions, remember this disclaimer. It says, because we can be fired, Glenn, the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the speakers only and not necessarily those of KVMR, its board, staff, or contributors.
Okay.
Did I say that with sufficient aplomb?
You did. And we can't be fired. Slaves have to be sold.
That's true.
Yeah.
Have to be sold and usury, which means, like, if we're bought, it has to be at a rate of interest for the loan to buy us that's astronomical, so we're worth it.
Okay.
And then we can't be got rid of, because then we're collateral of ourselves.
Right.
I'm going off on a tangent.
You've got
I've lost. I've lost myself, too.
You know what? I think we have a phone call over there.
Cool.
Good afternoon, caller. You're live on Zentech. Hi.
Hi, I actually had a Zentech question, but the response when I called in said I was going to the flea market.
Are you certain? Because I thought I made it number 5. Oh, you know what? I probably didn't go and change it. Anyway, you're at Zentech. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm Zentech, but I had something for the flea market too.
Okay, well, we'll hear from you on Thursday, won't we?
Okay. Well, you said there was no such thing as a dumb question, but
right.
This may be a redundant question. I don't know if you addressed it. You were talking about recording radio programs coming down, and I have been using Total Recorder. It's worked quite well. It cost me like $10. But what I have not been able to find is something to record audio and video. when you have a video stream.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you have anything for that?
I think what happens is audio is fairly narrowly focused to going out through the sound driver, and it can be caught there. There's so many different ways of streaming video that it's probably quite hard to capture it that way. What you're probably after is some kind of screen capture program, which is horrible because it captures everything else around. No, I have not heard of this caller. If anyone out there knows a way to capture video in general from a stream, that would be good. I suspect it's not going to be possible because some streams are designed not to be caught.
I wonder if having one of these aftermarket video capture cards from Hop Hog or, Airlink, I have one from them, where you can actually set it up as it has a tuner in it and everything. I wonder if that could do it, possibly.
I'm not sure if it's capturing the screen buffer or whether it's capturing what it is comes in from outside
from
or
the
which channel
source via the cabling or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ugly way to do it, caller, and that's to get a TV card so that what would be on your monitor goes out to your TV and you record it in your VCR. I mean, that's really crude, but it'll probably work.
Yeah, well, I know I've seen it done like on Amy Goodman. They'll show you which is what is obviously streaming video.
Right.
And so I know that somebody's doing it somewhere, somehow.
What will happen is, in some cases, yes, you can do it. If you can see a video stream and you click on it and it starts to play, you're in luck if it's what they call an MOV file, which is a QuickTime movie, because you can right-click on the MOV file and go save this link to disc.
Oh, you can, on the with a streaming
on
video?
On some things, depending on how they're done. The catch we're up against, what you're talking about, is that some things can be done this way. Other things cannot. You're presumably after a universal way of capturing whatever it is you've got on your screen.
Right.
Typically, if you click on a link that will give you a stream of the video, hover the mouse pointer over it first and see what it says on the lower left of the screen. If it's an MOV file, you can typically right-click on it.
Mm-hmm.
If it says anything to do with Flash or it's got some JavaScript, usually it won't work.
Right.
The other catch you can do is some movies download into the cache and play there. So if you see that the downloaded movie is called Amy Goodman Part 2, you can then do a file search for Amy Goodman Part 2, and it may turn up in your temporary file.
Right. I that's happened as well, but that's not actually very often that you end up with an actual file on your...
And a lot of things, like I said, if they're designed not to be caught, it doesn't mean they can't be caught. It just means it's not going to be easy.
Well, you know, I come this close to taking my little video camera and sticking it up against the screen, you know?
They used to say when I worked on boats, crude but effective, CBE.
Crude but effective, yeah. Now, another question here. I came from the car, and I ran in here to get this thing streaming on my computer.
Uh-huh.
It looks like the only ways that I can stream you is with Real Player, Winamp, or Live 365.
Right. What else would you like?
The Windows Media Player is what they allow me to use here. They do not allow me to use Real Player because of some sort of security issues.
Well, yeah. Real Player, I don't recommend anybody. They want you to do so much stuff, and you know, any one of these programs wants to sort of take over your computer and say, only run these files via me.
Here's what you can do, caller. You can associate the file extension M3U. With Windows Media Player. That's what they call a playlist file, and that's normally associated with the Winamp, which you're presumably not allowed. If you are allowed to change file associations, you indicate M3U, which is a streaming, I don't know what you'd call it, hint file. Associate that with Windows Media Player. Windows Media Player can play back KVMR's stream.
Okay.
It just has to be made to do it.
But then what do I click on your website?
When you follow those links, the final link that you click, when you click the one that says Winamp, it doesn't really mean Winamp. It means usually Winamp's associated with M3U.
Oh, okay.
So what will happen is instead of Winamp coming up, which presumably you haven't got, Windows Media Player will come up.
Okay.
You have to make it do it, though.
But I have to go into Windows Media Player and tell it to go with M3U.
Not necessarily. You need to go and change your file associations, which...
Okay.
The easiest way to do it.
I guess if you open up like My Document and then click on Folder Options up there, is it in that area, Paul?
Oh, there's several ways to do it. See what happens if you click on the Winamp link. It may actually not know what to do and say, what do you want to do? And at that point you go, oh, Windows Media Player, please.
Oh.
So that might work. Try that.
Because it's trying to open Winamp. It says here Winamp.
Well, if you've got Winamp, why not use it?
Oh. Good point.
I thought you meant it wasn't even on the machine.
The Real Player is not. They told us to take them off.
Exactly so. So Winamp's fine.
It looks like maybe I do have Winamp.
Okay, if Winamp warns you...
Oh, no. It's telling me to... It wants to me to download Winamp. No, 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 can't do that.
Oh, okay, what's happening is Winamp's had some security... They've all had security issues. Anyone that says that RealPlayer is the only one is not right. But Winamp had some security issues and got updated six weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I can't convince, the powers that be.
Right, you need to then, in some way, change the association. Glenn, have you got any?
Right. If you go into Windows Media Player, under Tools, click on Options, and then there's a File Types section there. And I don't know if it allows you to select...
But you can
it doesn't actually. It says MP3, and you're saying M3U, Paul, is that correct?
That's a playlist file, yes.
Okay, that's not one of the choices, and it doesn't let you put a choice in, so that won't help you. The angle I was going from, let's try this, my documents, and here we go, tools, folder options, and then under file types, can you do associations there, Paul?
God knows. My machine is just busy restarting.
Okay.
You're off down the right track. You get the idea that at this point we end up going twice around the block, 10 steps forwards, 9 back, and sideways with a blindfold. But you get the idea.
Yeah, maybe I'll go sit out at my car and listen.
Yeah, and here, Paul, I don't see a W... was it WM3?
M3U. Let me just check here. I'm out of range of the mic. I'm just poking this thing. KVMR.org. That's got our lovely website. Here's what we do. We click on Listen Live.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Winamp comes up, you do this with any site that you want to try and capture, and that is where it says Listen with Winamp. Hover the mouse pointer over the link to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, that's exactly so. So when you hover the mouse pointer over the Winamp link, if you look on the lower left of the toolbar, at least in Firefox and probably in Internet Explorer, it goes blah, 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 .m3u, which is not actually the stream. It's what they call a hint that points to where the stream is, and that should be made to load in Winamp. So that was correct from my point of view as a memory. Here's an idea. Right-click on that and save the m3u on the desktop. It's not the audio file, it's the pointer. So you right-click on top of that Winamp link and left-click on Save Link As, okay?
Save Target As.
Save Target As, that will work.
Okay.
And you get a little tiny file on your desktop that's called la-da-da-da-da.m3u.
Oh, M3U, yes.
Yep. Now right-click on that M3U.
Okay.
Is that you making tinkling noises?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. I'll turn off my speaker.
I love those noises. And, so what you do now is right-click on that M3U file and it says Open With. And then you say Choose Program, and then you say Windows Media Player, which is under Program Files, Windows Media Player. They're going to kill you. You're going to get fired for doing this. You know that?
Yeah.
And you know what I found out the way I was thinking through my documents? Yeah. I was looking under W, so forgive my brain for not looking at
M3U. You're upside down.
Yeah. And actually, mine is already set to open it with Windows Media Player, so you can do that.
As far as I know, it works. It should be fine.
Well, I'll work on this for the next half hour or so.
Let us know. Keep us posted.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Surely. You're welcome. And for callers that are interested, KVMR upped its streaming audio, given that more people have got more bandwidth than dial-up, which is what was prevalent when the streaming began, 5 years ago more. We're up to 50K streaming now, which is beyond the realm of only the best dial-ups. So we now have twice the audio resolution. That started about a couple months ago, something like that.
Okay. Let's be nice to the caller on line 2, which is malfunctioning. Push the on-air button for line 2. There you go. Hi, caller. We finally have you on air, live. Welcome.
Oh, yes. It was a malfunctioning sort of thing. I didn't get the flea market or Zentime.
It's a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, line 2, not only are people not getting a beep when they're on hold and coming in on our automated system, but line 2 hasn't been working for about 2.5 weeks, and it still isn't working.
Going to have to get that fixed, Glenn.
You know, I talk about it, and they say, oh, it's working. You just... But it isn't, and it will get it fixed. So how are you, Mikhail?
I'm pretty good, guys. So you are looking for some way to capture video. On the PC, I can't help you, but on the Mac, there's a really nice utility called Snap Pro. That's S-N-A-P-Z Pro X. It's not Intel compatible yet, so you can't run it on the Intel Mac, but it's very cool, and it allows you to capture anything on your screen as well as make movies out of streaming video.
Does that mean that then you could, for example, make a tutorial where it will capture whatever it is that you're doing on the screen?
You could do that exactly if you want to convey your idea to someone.
Right. So it doesn't care how the video got there, it just catches it.
AmbrosiaSoftware.com. It's basically AmbrosiaSW.com. you will find the place that has this software, for the Mac at least, and it's a wonderful utility I've been using for a number of years. Highly recommend it. It's great for screen captures. It's great for websites where the people have embedded everything into some flash file and you can't grab any photos of them for various promotional work and things like that.
So you try to go full screen and then start the capture process with a keystroke, is that it?
Yeah, you can do that. It's there's a lot of different ways to do it, you know.
In that case, on the PC, there used to be a program around called Lotus Screen Cam.
Uh-huh.
It's a fairly crude method of doing it. Mikhail, what format is this video saved in on the Mac?
QuickTime. You can save it in QuickTime, basically, which is just pretty much universal for Mac or PC.
So it's compressed. You're not going to end up with giant files in, so that's
good.
Yeah,
cool. Exactly.
Okay, do you need QuickTime Pro to make these or not?
No. This app takes care of all of that for you.
Okay, we're going to... Glenn's actually typed down the web address. While we're there, there was a long URL that you sent me about freebies for the Mac.
The easiest way to get that would be to go to Macworld, I believe. They've got that. Let me see. I've got the email here for you. And while we're on this thing, the last caller could also use, unless they've told him not to, he could also think about using iTunes on his PC as well as stream KVMR, which is what I use.
Very good idea, and far more secure than almost anything as far as I know.
Exactly, and that's what I use myself for streaming on the Mac, at least. I haven't really started playing with the PC as much with it yet. So let's see. Yes, the address there. Do you want this URL?
If you could send it. Well, actually, I've got it in email, but the general thing you do is go to Macworld, and is there a search window you can put in freebies, or how did you get there?
Just go to Macworld, and you'd be looking for, I think it's, they have a thing, it's like Creative Bargains, features,
mm-hmm.
Creative Bargains. That's basically... just a lot of different cool stuff that's around.
Oh, that reminds...
I sent this to Glenn and you as well. It wasn't just you.
Right.
Right.
We'll put it out on the email list. The other thing, Mikhail, is when you get a horrible long URL that can't be read over the air because it's like blah, 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 slash, whatnot, right. You get the idea. There's a great website called TinyURL.
Yeah.
TinyURL.com.
Uh-huh.
You paste in the giant URL, which can be up to, I think, 1,024 characters long, and it generates a tiny URL, which is like tinyurl/ab9523. It's a series of hex digits, and it means that they'll always get a URL into like 12 characters or less.
Oh, God.
So we might reformat.
What's it called again?
TinyURL. There's other sites, but this one's tinyurl.com.
Okay.
Because some people's email programs wrap the URL across the 72-character boundary, and you can't click on it.
Oh, yeah, there it is. I see it. That's quite nice.
Yeah, paste the URL in there and send it, and it's almost readable on the air because it's got no slashes, tildes, or punctuations. It's tinyurl.com/ab19352, or whatever.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
That sounds good.
Hey, Mac or PC, we love going across the boundary.
Yeah, this is true. So, guys, one thing, too, to add to our list of things, since the listeners out there are so techie on this show, we've got a nice little 60-cycle hum on the Internet feed as well.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a nice little AC hum. It's a classic thing. You put a 3-prong ground list on it, it'll probably go away.
Well, the other problem is, as people that used to do bus networking know with the old ARCNET and so forth, that's caused as much by ground loops as anything else, which is too many things are grounded.
Yeah, so we're going to have to look at that one as well.
Yeah, you've either got
audio.
No ground or more than one ground, but not one ground.
So that's a problem at our end or your end?
It's a problem at your end.
So
well,
sourcing
our end, meaning KVMR's end.
Sure.
So we're working on that one. And also, you might notice if you're listening to KVMR on the web, it isn't in real stereo at this point. It's in sort of a fashionably lean stereo. So we're going to be working on that and cleaning all that up as well.
Would you like to call that expanded mono or reduced stereo?
I'm sure I would love to. Yeah, expanded mono.
By the way, listeners, that's one very good reason for going with fiber optic and digital stuff. The AC hum thing, it won't alleviate it, but it won't be introduced along the line.
Exactly.
If you start with that, you're not going to get rid of it easily.
Very good point.
Yep, so if it's all digital end-to-end, what it means is you don't get attenuation or gain or loss. It either works or it doesn't work.
Cool. So did you, Glenn, you've got that URL, I think, in your email. So did you want to do the tiny URL thing, or do you want
Let's
me
do that.
To
Wouldn't
do
that?
Why don't you do it, if you don't mind? I was busy typing notes here.
I believe you were. All righty then.
There's other sites, but TinyURL I like in particular. I've managed to make it consume over 1,000 characters of a URL where you've got these silly session IDs and cookies. By the way, when you do one of these fancy URLs, you can usually strip a lot of the stuff off to the right where it says session ID and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the URL's not transportable, and if you send it to somebody else, they ain't you and they won't get it.
Ah.
You have to be very careful of that. So if you see session ID on the right-hand side, strip all that off with the query and everything.
All righty, then. I'll give it a shot.
Sure.
Over.
So at some point, Mikhail, we're going to get together, and we're going to do the most frightening thing, and I'm going to announce it to your friends and everyone. Folks, Mikhail is going to put Windows on his Mac.
Yeah, this is a scary one, but I'm going to have my first PC laptop coming up, but it'll be a combination of PC and Mac. So we'll get to have the worst and the best, or the best and the worst, depending on which side of the coin you're on.
You mentioned boot camp, and I said, you go do it. We'll talk.
Yeah. If you all haven't watched TV too much, there's a cute commercial on there. There's one fellow, and he's a PC, and then there's another fellow who's a Mac, and the PC fellow sneezes, and I've got a virus. And he says, stay away from me. Don't come near me. He goes, you know, don't need to worry about me, the Mac guy says. You know, I'm not going to get it.
You know, if you go to Apple.com, there's actually about, I think, four or five of these different videos that they've coined.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was kind of cute. The second time I saw it, it was kind of not so cute. And then now it's about the 15th or 20th time, and I'm getting rather annoyed with it, and I'm feeling bad for this PC guy because I have a lot of friends that are that PC guy.
You're going to join him?
Oh, God. No. So, for people out there that are always worried about this virus stuff, how does this work then, Paul? I mean, and Glenn, is it on a PC? Is it if you don't get email, can you still get viruses?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Typically, if you get email, so many things, especially if you use online email like Yahoo and Hotmail and stuff, they'll scan for viruses in the email itself. Opening attachments for people you don't know, I don't recommend. Even opening an attachment of, oh, hey, this is cute, you got to see this, click on this, I don't recommend. Matter of fact, I'll tell, well, you know, I'm going to tell my story right now. It's opening junk mail on the computer is like opening junk mail at home. Now, let's say that I come out and tell you that one in every five pieces of junk mail in your mailbox at home is going to have either a live rattlesnake, a bomb, or anthrax in it. How many pieces of that junk mail are you going to open? Are you going to play the odds, or are you not going to open the junk mail? Don't open it.
But I got to see it.
Same thing on the computer. So, but the other thing is, and what we're finding out, is just going to a website can invite something onto your computer. And a lot of people say, well, here, click on this website. And I'll have to admit, Mikhail, you've sent me a couple, and I'm pretty trustful of that. And Paul, too, you know, and you're not the only one. You know, said, oh, go check out this website. And unless I really recognize it, or if I call you guys and say, you know, hey, is this really safe to click on? My whole thing is, you know, I don't want to get bit by the rattlesnake, and so I just won't.
It's true, actually, Mikhail, that you don't, quote, have to do anything. The only action you have to perform is to accidentally end up on the wrong website, and it will download things into Internet Explorer that will trigger problems.
That's just disgusting.
Absolutely. By the way, it seems like a good point to mention, when you do put Windows on one of these Mac machines, Glenn and I reviewed, after a caller mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, the new antivirus program from Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic, that's called Avast, AVAST.com, and I'm very happy with it. Because what it does that AVG Free doesn't do, what Avast, the antivirus, does is it will look in the cache as content from a website arrives, and if it is one of these malicious things that's trying to break in through a defect in Internet Explorer or Windows, it will stop it in its tracks, and I haven't seen that happening before with AVG.
Aha.
So we will. It's genuinely free. You download it, and you get a 30 or 60 day free run without registering, then you register for free.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with paying for things, but they show you what extra you get. Very, very nice thing to get, Mikhail.
I'll have to check that. By the way, here's one I think you can find for both PC, Linux, and OS X guys. I think there might even be some OS 9 versions of this. It's called reallyslick.com.
Oh, you sent us that. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention it.
That one's a simple URL that anybody can get. If you'd like to get some very cool-looking screensavers for free, just for the time of downloading them, and they do seem to be virus-free, Glenn, they're really, really sweet.
Actually, that was the URL, that was the point in my Palm Pilot I got to when the battery went out.
Yeah.
reallyslick.com, and that'll go out on the mailing list when we wake it up and run it.
Yeah, exactly. And there was also another one I sent you guys, which, for the listeners out there that are looking for a new monitor, We've gotten some great deals recently at Fry's Outpost as well as Fry's Fund, some really great monitors, a couple that we have at KVMR, but there was one via CompUSA this weekend that I think is still going. It was a 19-inch for... Geez, what was it, 100?
It was $199
after rebate. But, you know, that was an off-brand.
I agree.
And I heard, I was at Fry's on Saturday on my way home from Chester, and there was a fellow talking to a lady at the little where they have the displays listed at the front of the store. He's like, oh, ViewSonic, it's a horrible brand. That's just a cheap entry-level brand. You don't want to get that. And then she said, oh, I've heard about Neck and Mag. And he goes, oh, same thing. Those are just, you know, crappy monitors. You don't want that. And I'm like, where did this guy come from? I mean, ViewSonic is been a very well established.
I own several of them and they're great.
Yeah, and you know, I'll speak out. I don't own one, but I bought them for other folks, and I've always heard over the years ViewSonic is a great product. They're coming out with some pretty budget-minded products, a similar 19-inch monitor with speakers for $229 after rebate.
Yeah, I'd actually say between the two, I'd go with the ViewSonic.
Spend the extra $30.
There's something, intuitive something or whatever.
Yeah. And even online, you can get the ViewSonic widescreen 19-inch for $249.99 after rebate at outpost.com. So we have another couple of calls, and Jimmy's in here ready to go, so we better head out. Thanks, Mikhail.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye now.
He was on
two. Let's go with next.
All right. Let's see what happens with that one.
Caller, you're live on the air. Hi.
Oh, I heard a beep.
Oh, good. You heard a beep.
I heard a beep.
That's amazing.
But I also am ready for the flea market now.
Oh, sorry.
But that's okay.
It's going to be a long wait.
No,
quickly,
no.
What is your question?
No question, just to let the fellow that had called know before Mikhail that on the KVMR webcast page, down about halfway, three-quarters, are a couple of URLs that they can just paste into their play location or play URL.
Aha, thank you.
And that will, they can bookmark that in their player that way. And they can, any MP3 player that'll play a live stream, they just snag one of those URLs, webcast.html, kvmr.org/webcast.html. You can get there from any page on kvmr.org. And about, like I say, about three quarters of the way down, you'll see a little thing.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Got it's the best way to listen to KVMR's live audio stream is to copy and paste either the following URLs, either
down
live 365s or an actual IP address, 216-235-8101.
And you know what I'm going to do today? Just because you were talking about it on the air, I'm going to move that up to the top of the page right underneath.
You're a good man, JB.
People-powered radio.
Well, that didn't sound like JB.
Bag.
Well, hi, thank you.
Oh, hi there. It's only me.
It's with his alter ego voice.
Thanks for all your
one
help.
Of the several.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, John.
Okay.
Bye. KVMR's webmaster.
You know what? We're going to take one more call, and then we're going to have to let... actually, we've probably got two calls, so go ahead with next. There we go. Hi,
time
caller,
for one, I think.
Yeah, probably only one call. You're live on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Well, it's me again. I did it your way. I right-clicked on the link next to Winamp, and I saved the target as on my desktop, and then it already knew that it wanted to play with Windows Media Player, and it did. So I was able to listen, and I came right in at the middle of the fellow talking about some sort of screen thing.
Oh, right.
But was that only for Mac?
Yes.
Yes.
Only for Mac.
Only
okay.
for Mac. There'll be an equivalent for the PC. There used to be a commercial product called Lotus Screen Cam.
Yes, right.
And there may be others. In fact, that's not related to capturing video. It's related to capturing the screen, which is almost the same thing.
Right.
We have to call an end to our fun and games, I'm afraid, caller.
Okay.
Thanks for
as
calling.
We're heading 2-3 minutes to 2 o'clock, and Jimmy Carney will kill us if we don't go away.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for the help. I'm listening to you streaming live now.
Great, wonderful. Excellent. Thank you.
And for those who've already gotten into the system, we apologize. We're going to have to let you go, and we're not going to be able to get your calls. We want to thank you and everyone else for listening and helping to support radio and community-supported radio here at KVMR. And also thanks out to Almsoft Technologies, providing Sacramento and the foothills with local internet solutions for home and office, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or omsoft.com. Omsoft, the enlightened internet solution.
Thanks for being here. It's been our pleasure. zen@kvmar.org may bounce until we fix that. Do try the website and we'll add the mailing list, zen.kvmar.org. Thanks for being with us.
KVMR FM, Nevada City.